This is the Bitter Comics Podcast. Here's your host, JT Foreman.
Hello, and welcome to episode 52 of Bitter Comics. I am JT Foreman, and I'm here with my good friend, Byron, the Ryman Byron Campbell. Nothing to do with the soup.
All to do with the soup, not the toe.
Not Byron the toe.
Campbell, yes.
Byron
AKA
Campbell.
AKA B-Nut, AKA Nutrageous, AKA Blake Burner.
B-Nut, Nutrageous, and what Burner?
Blake Burner.
Blake Burner.
Yeah, that's my old school Call of Duty name. I could never get rid of it.
I'm okay. All right. Well, hey, thanks for doing the show with me.
No problem.
Well, we begin once again with our opening segment. JT was a real prick last week, in which I apologize for the cruel, offensive, and probably racist things I said last episode.
What the fuck? You don't care.
So, for my insensitivity in episode 51, I would like to apologize to black people, Mark Updegrove, non-white restaurant workers, and horses.
What did you do to horses?
Last week I had a couple of friends of mine on. Gina Linder, she's the wife of a friend of mine. She talked about how when she was a tutor at Fresno City College, one of the other students that she was tutoring in math says, "Would you like to see a picture of my horse?" And she loves horses, but she was expecting an actual, you know, the animal, giddy up, you know. She wasn't expecting him to show a picture of the giant black penis on which he rides that he refers to as his horse. So I said some disparaging things about horses. So, but if you'd like to know specifically why I'm apologizing to this and each of the other things, just check out episode 51 and all the previous episodes at bittercomics.podbean.com. If you would like to subscribe to the podcast, I still haven't been able to get into the iTunes store, but you can subscribe using iTunes, Google, or your My Yahoo account. Just go to the website, bittercomics.podbean.com, and scroll down a little bit, and on the right-hand side of the page, there are buttons you can click on. Just click on the appropriate one, and it'll subscribe to the podcast for you. And if you feel I owe any further apologies or to make any comments, send us an email to bittercomics@hotmail.com, and in the subject line, please put, "It's always a good time for a dick joke." It is always a good time for a dick joke, isn't it? You know, yes. I find that as a stand-up comedian, no matter what I'm doing, if no matter how badly I'm losing the audience, I can just throw in a dick joke, and everything's fine. Have you experienced this?
I don't really have that many dick jokes, but I have experienced that when it is dropping out, if you just bring up something just a little taboo, say, or anything of that nature, you're going to gain favor with the seedier part of the crowd.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, everyone has a little bit of seediness in them.
True.
You know, and most people don't want to let it out. But see, that's why most of the smart comedy clubs will have a 2-drink minimum, because you get a little bit drunk and it lets the seediness out. You know, one day if/when marijuana becomes legal, I think it's going to change from a 2-drink minimum to a 2 inebriation item minimum, and like, you know, two pot brownies will be good. You know, they'll let you. You can have 2-pot brownies, or you can have, you know, you can have
blunts for us, right?
2 blunts, or, you know, a blunt and a cocktail. You know, because I can see you going to a comedy club and ordering, I know, what kind of cocktails do you like?
Hennessy.
Okay, ordering a Hennessy and a blunt as your two inebriation item minimum. I can see you'll be wearing the vest and the tie that you wore at the comedy show this past Monday. You know, looking sharp, looking
right,
good.
Right.
You know,
stogie like blunt though.
Yeah,
right?
stogie like blunt in one hand, what's that kind of
sifter?
A sifter.
Yeah.
A sifter of Hennessy.
Mm-hmm.
And just kind of lean back, with a girl under the table blowing you, of course, just because you have to really fill out the whole image.
That's the black most interesting man in the world.
Yes,
that is me. I can fulfill that role.
The black most interesting man in the world. That's you. You got the blunt and the Hennessy and the girl under the table blowing you.
Awesome.
The white girl with the big ass blowing you, of course.
Of course.
Of course.
I actually have a special preference for that one, though.
Yes. So I do have a Byron Campbell, And in case you can't tell by the particular inflection in his voice, I get in trouble for that one.
I don't know why you put a microphone in front of me and it does change.
See, people give me a hard time for this, but I still say it's true. And it's not just black people. You hear a voice and you can tell generally if the person's ethnicity.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, you just hear the voice. It has something to do with the accent. It has something to do with the
pronunciation of
some words. And so you hear a voice and you can tell if the person is black or if they're Hispanic or if they're Asian. Now, I wouldn't be able to say, well, yes, black. I'd say more from the Nigeria. I couldn't get that specific with it. It's like, I mean, you look at me and it's like, well, he's a white guy, you know. I don't know what kind of white guy. It's just he's a white guy.
You're the reason why I'm talking like this right now.
Really?
Yeah. Because
you feel you have to offset the whiteness in the room. It's like there's just this ethnicity force field coming in the middle being formed by the white and the black forces just kind of emanating off of each of us. And
Not even.
Okay. For some reason, it stopped recording all of a sudden. I just had to rewind it out. Okay. So you were talking about the reason that you're talking talking this way right now.
Well, yeah, there's a little bit more pepper in my voice, you might notice, and it's hard to tell if I'm black or white at the moment, but be sure people, I am very, very black. I don't know, like, if I get a phone call from a job interview or something, this voice comes out, or if I want to get an apartment, like I'm looking for an apartment now, they, you know, when they meet me, they're always shocked. I have noticed it with white girls that I hang out with, and when there's more black guys around than white guys, then they tend to, like, oh, yo, what's up? Oh, yeah, you want to see what's pretty fat? You know, they start...
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? It's just something I've noticed.
Well, you know, everyone, you want to get along with the group that you're in, and if you're with at any one moment. And if I were to walk into a room and there was a bunch of people, you know, holding the blunts and the sifters with the Hennessy in it, I would probably try
turn
to deepen
around.
My voice a little bit.
You probably would turn around.
But the problem with us white people is that we have to be careful that we don't go too far in the attempting to adapt to the situation, because we might accidentally let an N-word slip, and it just, and you know, no one is understanding of, you know, it's just, I'm a white man in a black man's world, and I just, you know, this is not right now. I should be able to...
Technically, you said black man's world, it's not our world. Just because all your women love us, you know.
Oh, come on. No. So, hey, Byron, we did a show Monday at Fulton 55.
First time, 30 minutes for me, it was huge.
Yeah, it was you were great, and you did. You dressed up really nice. You know, you had the vest and the tie, looking really sharp. You know, you ironed your shirt and everything. Something that I never go through the effort of doing. You know, the thing that I noticed is as you went further toward the end of the show from the comics, mm-hmm. they got better and better dressed. It was like you headlined the show, you know, and you had... You know, the vest on and the tie and looking, you know, dress pants and shine shoes, you know, looking sharp, looking really good. You still had the pick in your hair, though.
Right.
You still had the pick in your hair.
Right.
Because, yeah, that's like your trademark, I guess.
It's a sign of rebellious. I like to go out with my pick in my hair and have nappy-ass hair. It's just one little rebellion thing. And I don't know, what? maybe I actually get it just, like, growing the afro out, because I am trying to tie back to my, like, 70s roots. Like, yeah. You know, free love and everything was cool. I don't know. I'm just a fan of that shit.
Well, you know, I think everyone, no matter what you do, everyone needs to have their own kind of personal thing in their appearance. Like, for me, I always wear steel-toed shoes. You know, no matter how I'm dressed, I could be in shorts and a t-shirt like I am right now, or I could be wearing a suit and tie, I will still have my black steel-toed shoes on. And, you know, that's just, you know, beyond the of course, obvious safety thing, it protects my feet and all that. I feel comfortable that way. It makes, you know, that having that one thing, then it makes me feel better.
You're a juggernaut.
A juggernaut.
You're a juggernaut.
People can hear it clung, 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 clung. Because you know.
Back to the show, though. No. Like, what was your point about that, though? Like,
well, it's like, okay, you were last, and you were dressed to the nines. You know, mm-hmm. Is that the right term?
Just to the nines.
I'm yeah, that's a way to tell that I'm a white guy, because I'll say something slang-ish, and then I'll say, is that the right term? That's how you people say it, right? That's what the kids are saying now these days?
That's right, yeah.
It shows that I'm white and I'm getting older, and I am a 40-year-old white guy. It's like, that's what the kids use. That's the term the kids use these days, isn't it? Yeah. Just to the nines. No, that's what the kids said back in the 40s.
Just don't say yo.
Just don't say yo. And, you know, before you was me, and although I didn't have a tie on, but I had a long sleeve button-down shirt that I tucked in a button, and I had some dress slacks on. And then before me was, who was it went up before me?
Was it Tim?
Yeah, I think it was Tim. And he, I mean, he had jeans on and a kind of a polo shirt, I think. Or just a t-shirt, and then the person who went before him was wearing shorts and a t-shirt. So it's like it started off just kind of, you know, just throw this on, here I'll go. And, you know, you're opening, you're doing 5 minutes, so what do you care about the show, right? And as it went further into the show, people are doing more and more time. And people are moving into the people who, I guess, took that particular show more of, you know, I'm doing longer, I'm doing more of a show, I'm not just going up there and doing a bit and leaving, right. You know, and then of course got to you where you're headlining, you know, you. So I think, I don't know that everyone planned it on purpose, but somehow as you went further into the show, it got more.
Yeah, it did. I feel you, there was the escalation of the dress code.
Yeah, know? Yeah.
I would have said the comedy, but like, I did good for 30 minutes.
I thought you did great. Right?
I thought I did great, but I'm such a perfectionist. Like, there was points in there where I kind of stumbled and I didn't know what I was talking about, but I guess, like, I don't like that. But the crowd was with me there the whole time, and I told them, look, as soon as I think of it, I'm going to tell you. Yeah. And, you know, I waited it through it. It wasn't like it was 10 minutes of silence on stage, of course, but I'm getting to the point with my comedy where I just want to be so perfect on stage.
Yeah.
I want to be flawless.
Well, I was doing my my smoking bit during my set, and I got halfway through it, and I'd forgotten it. And then at that point, I also realized I'd forgotten to do the part at the very beginning. I usually start off my smoking bit by saying I'm addicted to secondhand smoke. So if you're smoking a cigarette and I'm standing next to you, you know, since secondhand smoke is twice as deadly as smoking a cigarette yourself, so if you're smoking a cigarette and I'm standing next to you, I'm probably enjoying it twice as much as you are. So, but I forgot to do that, and then I got halfway into the bit, and I couldn't remember what the last half of it was, where, and I remember now, I talk about the new warning labels that the FDA was trying to get put on the cigarette packs. And so I, you know, and I even said, I'm sitting there and I'm thinking, and I realized that I hadn't said anything for like 10 seconds. And I even just said out loud, you know, I can't remember the rest of the smoking bit. Ah, fuck it, let's move on. And then I just went on to the next joke.
Right.
You know, so, I experienced that too. I don't even smoke pot. I don't have a good excuse. I'm only 40. I'm not old enough to be going through Alzheimer's yet. You know, you could though. You could blame it on the pot if you wanted to, and everyone would understand.
No one would.
You know, so that's the nice thing about being a pot smoker is because you always have a nice excuse for everything.
It's bullshit. I'm gonna call you out on that. You don't smoke pot. I'm gonna speak for pot smokers. That's bullshit.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's
twice as hard.
That's the stereotype.
We got to find clean piss, okay? We got to make sure we're at work on time while high and let nobody know that we're high.
Yeah.
You know how hard it is to maintain a high when nobody's supposed to know that you're high?
Yeah, you know, I that's a good point. I think that if you got two people in school and one of them's got a 4.0 and doesn't do drugs and one of them's got a 4.0 and he does drugs, I think the 4.0 should be the valid with that does drugs. That's the one who's really accomplished something. That's impressive. I mean, anyone can study hard, work their ass off, study hard, and get good grades. But can you work your ass off, study hard, and be high and get good grades? I don't know many people who can do that.
I did that. Well, semi good. I don't know. I didn't want to be an overachiever.
Yeah. Well, hey, we're going to take a break real quick. I am JT Foreman with the Bitter Comics. We'll be right back.
You sure you this is JT Foreman. We're the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right. Now, a couple of things I got to point out here. From about the 6 or 7 minute mark, it probably sounded like Byron was kind of like far away from the mic. You see, for some reason, it just stopped recording all of a sudden. My computer has done that a couple of times. I don't know why. So what I had to do was go back and listen to it to see where exactly it was at. But see, the problem is I have a mixing board that I use that plugs into a USB port, but I didn't bring headphones with me. So in order to be able to listen to it through the computer speakers, I had to unplug the USB port so I could just play back. And then when we started recording again, I forgot to plug the USB port back in. So now what you were hearing was both Byron and I being picked up by the built-in microphone on my laptop. Now, so that's why it sounded like he was kind of far away and there was kind of that, you know, hissing voice sound a little bit in the background. And here's the worst part about that. It did pick us up. So if I like moved the laptop a little bit closer to Byron, you would have been able to hear him better. We both could have just spoken up a little bit more and we wouldn't have needed these professional microphones that I purchased and this USB mixing board that I've got. So that means I spent like $700-$800 on this equipment that I didn't have to. I feel like an asshole.
You're like the kid. Okay, wait. You really remind me of the kid like on the basketball team that had the best, brand new, most expensive pair of shoes. He had the knee guards. He had all the personal basketball trainer and stuff, but he still rode the bench the whole game. You know what I'm saying? You know that kid.
I'm ready. When I get my shot, I'm going to be ready. I got everything. Fancy. I got all my stuff. I am set. When I am going to be called. The coach is going to call on me one day. Put me in, coach. I'm ready to play today.
You got all the
and I'm gonna be set when he does, and I'm gonna have everything ready. And yeah,
you got all these fancy bells and whistles and don't know how to use them.
That's true, actually. I feel like such an asshole. Okay, so, where were we, Byron? Where were we?
I believe we were gonna be talking about getting high.
Getting high. Well, actually, let's start off with the list. Now, Terry Michaels, I have been able to get him on the show in a little bit, but he likes lists. So he started making me look for a list each week for us to talk about. You know, okay. It's a good sense. Way to bring, you know, it's an easy way to keep conversation going and like kind of cohesive kind of thing. Now, the one that I found for this week's episode is on cracked.com. I will put a link to it in the show notes. On the website bittercomics.podbean.com, so you'll be able to look this up and take a look at the list yourself. But the list is done by a gentleman named John Cheese. It is 6 great ways to remind yourself that you're poor.
Your skin color.
I'm white and I'm poor. How did this happen? This is bullshit.
See,
this is not fair. I don't know how to handle being poor.
I'm just playing devil's advocate here, though. It's directly proportional to your willpower.
Yeah, something like that. Okay, so he's got the six ways to tell that you're poor. 6 ways to remind yourself that you're poor. Number 6, the first time you have to go to the hospital on your own. Now, as he explains in his article, when you're a kid, your parents have got health insurance, right? And it doesn't occur to you how much all this stuff costs. You hurt yourself. They take you to the emergency room once a year, once every 6 months, whatever. They take you in for a checkup. And, you know, it doesn't even occur to you that how much money is being spent on all this stuff. But then, you know, you're a grown-up now and something happens. And I experienced this myself a few years ago. The first time you have to go, let's say you fall and you break your arm. You know, and then one, you have to go to the hospital, you go to the emergency room, they set it and they do all that stuff. And then a few weeks later, you get a bill in the mail for $5,000. You know, now I don't know what what your personal situation is, but, you know, I've got a job that is only seasonal. If I were working all year long, I would be making like 28 grand a year.
And it's already.
And if I broke my arm and had a $5,000, you know, and actually a broken arm, I'm sure would cost 3 times that. Because okay, it was like 7 or 8 years ago. I'm eating. It was like a ground beef, a roast beef or something, and I was eating too fast. I didn't chew my food enough. The food got stuck in my esophagus. I couldn't force it down. I couldn't force it up. It was just kind of stuck there. Now I could breathe. It was below where my my windpipe breaks off, so I could still breathe, but I couldn't swallow anything. And after this kind of has happened before, and after a couple of hours, it kind of able to force it down. But this was like 2 days. I wasn't able to, and the food was still stuck in my esophagus. And so I went to the hospital, and the total bill for, they did a they did an X-ray, and they did, they had a doctor come in, they put me under, they stuck this thing down my throat to start pulling the meat out of my esophagus and then force the rest down. The total bill came to over $7,000. Yeah, that's just, I didn't chew my food.
I bet you do now. That's an expensive lesson to learn. I chew my
fucking food now. I count like one chew, two chew, three chew. I chew my food now.
Fuck.
And this ties into to the news currently because, we've got the healthcare bill now to make sure that everyone's got insurance and everything. Because I was going to Fresno City College at the time. I the only income I had was the GI Bill, and I didn't have any medical coverage at the time. And if it weren't for the county program, where if you're poor, they'll pay for your medical emergency care. Mm-hmm. You didn't chew your food, so now you have to die. I'm the punishment for not chewing your food is execution, apparently. No, it's the county.
Gluttony,
see, that's
is,
this,
gluttony is a sin,
That is true. It is one of the deadly sins, too. Gluttony is a deadly sin. You were pointing that out. It's a good one. Yeah, it's one of the deadly sins. And, it's interesting that being another one of the seven deadly sins, lust can kill you in the same way if you get something else stuck in your throat. See, it's always a good time for a dick joke. No. It's always a good time for a dick joke.
That was not a good time. I'm going to be honest with you right here. You can't hear your listeners, but they're like, why?
No, why you say that? No, it's always a good time.
Right now, somebody's like, why would you do that?
Why would you say that? But so yeah, I mean, even what would seem like small stuff can end up costing you a fortune, and, my job, I make about $14 an hour, and I don't know how many people know anything about economics, but just quick, easy math, if you're trying to figure out what someone makes in a year, take their hour salary, double it, and put $1,000 after it, and that's what you'll make in a year. So $14 an hour, that's about $28,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Imagine having to spend imagine having to spend $7,000 of that.
That's why
That's one quarter of your year's salary before taxes.
Before taxes.
Because you didn't chew your food so that you don't die.
If you were in my family, we probably would have been paying just $500 for a casket or something.
Yeah, funerals are funerals are cheaper, but not much. and we'll get to that later. that's one of them is go to the hospital. Number five, list of ways to remind yourself that you're broke. Anytime you buy jewelry for any reason.
See, none of this applies to me. I'm going to be honest with you. Because I don't go to the jewelry store and look and see how much I want to buy.
And you chew your food.
And I chew my food.
Actually, you only eat like liquid stuff and...
No, I just have a high metabolism. Stop looking have a high at my metabolism. Pecs.
I'm jealous of you. You're in good shape. Yeah, I'm jealous of people who don't get enough food.
No, but here's the thing. I don't go to the hospital for stuff like that. Yeah. Like, I swear, I'd have to. My bone had to be sticking out of my arm. And really in pain or okay, you were choking. I get it. Right. But
well, I mean, it had been somebody would have been 2 days.
I know, but there's a Mickey Mouse way to fix that. We fixed it.
Yeah,
you know what I mean. This is like. If your car's breaking down on the road, you can't always afford to take it to the mechanic, right?
What do you do?
You got a busted hose, what do? You put some duct tape on it.
Okay? Yeah.
That's what you do. Yeah, Same thing with the bodies here. I can't afford to take this to the mechanic today.
You get a bullet in you, just put some duct tape on it. All right. I gotta go to work.
The thing is, you can't get shot. That's all there is to
it. That's true. You just can't get shot. You just don't put yourself in a position where you're going to get shot.
That's how I live my life. Very careful.
Yeah. Very careful. Stay in shape so you don't get sick,
Of course.
Okay. Well, anytime you buy jewelry, of course, you don't let yourself. No. You don't let a woman get close enough to where she's asking you to buy jewelry, I guess.
No, that's not exactly what I'm saying. I'm just saying there's other ways and means to get jewelry and fine electronics if you get the drift. I'm not saying I would take anything. I'm just saying, like, people sell shit. It's a recession.
If someone else took something.
eBay is what I'm saying.
Okay, yeah.
Craigslist. You know what I'm saying? I'm going to go cubic zirconia, you know?
No, she won't
know until it's too late.
All right. Well, I mean, really, because, like, my girlfriend, she... I read somewhere that you're supposed to spend between 2 and 3 months' salary on your engagement ring. And that would be... Okay, let's say it's just 2 months. That's, like, $2,500. Or that's... Yeah, that would be like 20. Wait, I'm sorry.
Great match.
That'd be like $5,000.
$5,000, yeah.
Yeah, that would be like, I'm going to spend $5,000. I mean, I live paycheck to paycheck as it is. I don't know how I could be expected to spend $5,000 on an engagement ring.
Wholesale. Wholesale.
Yeah, then I still have to spend $5,000, so.
No, it won't be $5,000 wholesale.
Well, just imagine how much of better a ring you could get for $5,000 if you bought it wholesale, though.
That's true. Yeah. I feel what you're saying.
Well, now. I mean, there's the other thing about jewelry is that I have no idea how to tell if it's a real ring or if this shit is fake. And it's just, if I went to a quote wholesaler like you're talking about, the guy in the back of the truck in the alley, that kind of wholesaler?
No.
I would have no idea how to tell if it's real.
This is my thing. I don't know what your luck is like, but my luck at the time when I was getting married and I had to buy it, I went through this process already.
Oh, okay? You've been married before?
I've been married. I was married for 9 years.
Oh, wow.
Had 3 kids.
Huh.
Now I'm divorced.
No, you're divorced.
I love my kids. I can't stand her. Anyway. But the bottom line is, during that time, I actually had a friend that worked in the jewelry business, so he sold me a platinum ring, half carat, pretty good quality size diamond. Pretty good quality diamond.
Yeah.
For $1,200.
Oh, cool.
And he even threw in a little diamond pinky ring for me. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I get lucky like that.
Yeah.
And she was happy with it because she wanted platinum and it was a nice size diamond. You know, it wasn't a full carat, it was half carat, but it was good. Mm. So I'm lucky like that. I don't know. And I just always expect to not pay full price for anything for whatever reason. I'm not saying buy it hot, but maybe run upon another person's misfortune.
Yeah,
like they can't afford that.
No well, more. You know, it, when I buy my girlfriend flowers, I feel like I'm taking money and flushing it down the drain.
Yeah,
because I just can't imagine how I would feel if I were to purchase jewelry.
You should do like me
because it's just here's this pretty thing I'm gonna come on. You know, at least clothing is also functional. You know, yeah, you spend extra on clothes, yeah, but you know, it keeps you warm and all that, but. And all the girls out there, you know, all the girl out there listening to my show
are like, you cheapskate.
You cheapskate. You know, wait such a second. This is the modern era. You know, men and women are equal. You know, she can buy her own jewelry. Damn it.
I actually bake cheesecakes for my girl.
Cheesecake?
She loves cheesecakes. Well, I make them exceptionally well.
Well, my girlfriend's been complaining at me that she's gaining weight because I get her like... Because I don't want to buy her flower. I feel stupid if I buy her flowers. So I get her candy because at least she can eat that and enjoy it. But then now she's complaining that she's gaining weight. So I can't buy her candy anymore. So...
Let's get up off the couch. Let's
go next subject. Yeah, no, she goes to the gym a couple times every week, so you know it's not like she's not trying. I need to get off my ass and go work out a little bit, but we only got through 2 of the 6 things on the list, and that we're gonna take a break again real quick. I'm JT Foreman here with Byron Campbell. We're the Bitter Comics, and we'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Byron Campbell. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. All right.
Hello, everyone.
Now, continue on with the list of 6 great ways to tell that you're broke.
I got eyes, man. I can see. I see when people got nice shit, and I got bad shit, okay?
Yeah. You look at other people's shit. You look at your own shit. Hey, they got nicer shit than me. Well, see, there's the nice thing about having a crappy car. I've got kind of a crappy car. I get right of way. I just do. I just, you know, what you really going to risk hitting me with your Lexus? Really? Okay, well, look at my car. You know I can't afford the deductible to get your shit fixed.
You know it.
You ain't never getting nothing out of me.
You know you're poor.
You look at my car. You're not even sure if I have insurance, are you? You got a Lexus, though. I know you're insured. I know you're insured. Okay.
Watch this.
I do whatever I want. Break check. That's right.
You know you're poor if you're smoking swag.
You're smoking swag?
Swag is like the worst weed. It's got stems and seeds in it. I swear.
Well, you know, I would think that a pot smoker would be happy to find seeds in their pot because then they can grow some more.
No, seeds means it's male. So it's like you're gay. Seedless, it's like the female plant. It's also more potent. It's the flower. Whereas the male is... It takes from its potency to make seeds.
Well, if you take the seed, though, can you plant it and grow some more weed?
Yeah, but okay. You probably most likely have to find out if it's a male or a female all over again. So if it's a male again, then you're not...
Well, really so you got a 50-50 shot of having some good smoke in about a month and a half?
Basically, though, when it comes down to weed, you want females. They're the best when it comes to weed, okay?
Well, see, I never been a big pot smoker. I have smoked pot on a couple of occasions.
You called it smot.
Smot, sorry. I have smoked pot on a couple of occasions. I smotted. That's what I'm going to call it. Smotting. You smoking pot, it's smotting. I've smotted on a couple of occasions. I do remember it making me really hungry, and I remember it was a very nervous drive home.
Mm-hmm. And at about 20 miles an hour.
on the freeway, there was no one around me.
20 miles an hour. Maybe 40.
I drove home and I was followed by every cop in the Pacific Northwest. I couldn't see any of them, but I know they were there.
Not that this is not interesting right now, but all this talk.
Oh, there you go. But yeah, my buddy, when I was living in Houston, my buddy would he smoked pot, and I remember he spent a little bit more and got better stuff. In fact, he was told by the dealer, if you find any seeds in this, I will buy them back from you.
Wow. Okay.
And he would, if you found seeds in your pot, he would trade you more pot for the seeds that you found.
Well, some plants are hermaphrodites.
Yeah.
Kind of like a little bit of both, and that's what you need. Yeah,
those are the ones spot. I like. I like the hermaphrodites. Try not to read too much into that. Okay, so continuing our list on six great ways to tell you're broke. Number four, the first Christmas you have to buy for other people, and I have to say I experienced this. I have seven brothers and sisters, most of whom have kids. So I would just imagine this. All of a sudden, I went from I get gifts on Christmas to I've got between my brothers and sisters and their kids, there's 25 people. I got to buy gifts for everybody? I mean, if I only spend 20 bucks each, that's $1,000. And then I got to mail the stuff the stuff out to everybody. And I'd like to refer you back to that I make 28 grand a year thing. I'm going to spend, and I have to spend $1,000 plus on to buy gifts for, forget it. You know what? Go ahead.
I think that's why black families aren't as close as they should be. It's Christmas. You know what I mean? Because our families are huge. I feel where you're coming from totally. Yeah. And nephews and nieces, I'd go broke. So I just send them a card. That's what we do. Send a card.
Well, you know, the thing is, this is the gift that I've decided that I'm going to give everyone is the gift of not shopping. Well, let me explain. Okay. Like, your gift to me is that you don't have to get me anything.
Huh.
And now both of us get to just sit on our couch and smoke weed.
That's awesome. If you smoke weed, that would be awesome.
But so instead of buying me a gift this year for Christmas, I want you to sit on your couch and smoke weed instead. That is my gift to you, is that you get to sit on your couch generous. And smoke weed.
This guy, you are a scholar and a gentleman.
I'm a wonderful human being.
In return, I'll give you the same gift.
Thank you. That's exactly what I wanted.
I got it.
You know, it's like Father's Day. No father will ever get the gift they really want. It's for mom to take the kids and get the fuck out of the house. Leave me alone today. Leave me alone all day. You know, I don't understand it. For Mother's Day, dad's got to take the family out to dinner. And for Father's Day, dad's got to take the family out to dinner? What the fuck is that? This is bullshit. Wait a second. It's my day, and my gift is that I get to spend a bunch of money on you pieces of shit? What the hell is that about?
Whoa! You said pieces of shit. This is his family. You know, well, you don't know. He did these are his spawn.
You little bastards. How about that?
You little bastards. That's still a direct him.
Yeah. Oh, all right. Well,
you're too bitter. I think.
Yeah. Well, this is bitter comics. So I mean, how else do you expect me to react? Really?
Awesome.
All right. Let's see. What is next on the list here? Number. I got to go to the next page on the website. Once again, I found this list on crack.com, and I'll put a link in the show notes. Okay, number three, how to tell if you're broke. Just considering buying a house. Not even buying a house, you're considering buying a house. Right. I mean, think about this. If you live in an area where the housing is cheap, you're probably going to have to put down 20%. So, I mean, let's say you find, okay, you want to get married, you want to have a couple of kids, so you need to find yourself a 3-bedroom house.
You get the first-time buyer's discount or something.
Well, yeah, but you still got to put the down payment down. Imagine you want to buy a house, you got to come up with 20 grand?
Yeah.
I once again refer you back to that I make 28 grand a year thing.
I got you.
See?
I got you.
So, I mean, and forget, not just that. I mean, there's also all the closing costs and everything that you end up having to throw in there. I mean, you might have to come up with a few thousand more just for that. So, yeah, I mean, just considering buying a house will definitely remind you how broke you are. Number two in the list, this one is kind of related. It's talking to a loan officer for the first time. See, the loan officer will actually look up your credit report and tell you exactly why you're not going to get the loan. So let me explain this to you, you broke motherfucker.
You cannot afford to pay us back.
Yeah, when you hear the words, yeah, you're going to need a cosigner.
You're going to be able to test this to somebody else.
And finally, number one, the top reason, the top way to remind yourself you're broke, when you have to pay for a funeral. Now, some of the more responsible old people out there will have that taken care of ahead of time. In fact, they have all these different programs where you can pay for your funeral ahead of time. Everything's done. You know, everything's paid for, so the survivors won't have to worry about that. But most people don't do that. And they figure, well, fuck it, I'm dead. I don't have to deal with it. That's your problem.
True story.
So, I mean, because, like, that happened with, you know, my dad had to pay for my grandmother's funeral after she passed away. Now, fortunately, she was able to leave some money to them, to them that he was able to use to pay for the funeral. But, I mean, imagine, you might pay $5,000 for the coffin. And then you got to buy the plot and pay for the funeral and everything. I mean, you know, it's like my dad said, yeah, when I die, just put me in a bag and leave me on the side of the road for the trash to pick up. I'm like, I'm not going to do that. Come on. So yeah, if a loved one dies and you got to pay for the funeral, that will definitely remind you of how broke you are.
Definitely. I think the most important thing to remember in this is that you know you're poor by what you eat. But hasn't EBT kind of skewed that view just a little? I'm just going to...
Well, I mean, if you look in the fridge and everything says WIC approved on it, you know.
Oh, no. When I had EBT, it was top line. Well, that's true. I bought the best EBT, cheese, yeah. T-bone steaks. I mean...
Well, you know, I miss government cheese. Cause when I was growing up, like, especially when I was living in Missouri, that was about from when I was 5. You had government cheese? Yeah, I love government cheese. I love that shit.
The big block that came in the cardboard box?
It was awesome.
That shit was good, man.
If you were to take Velveeta and make it right. It's just like Velveeta is shit.
Yeah.
Government cheese was awesome. The government butter was awesome. It was like real butter. And what was really crappy was the government peanut butter. That was some awful shit.
It was hella greasy.
It came in a tin can. you have to open the tin can, and then there's an inch of grease in the top.
Yeah.
And then you'd have to try and mix it in together, because if you just pour the grease off, the peanut butter itself is so hard, you're not going to be able. And just don't eat the bread that you're going to get. It's just going to rip that shit apart. So you have to try to mix it.
The absolute worst thing about government products, and this thing should never have been invented. Okay.
What's that?
Dry milk.
Dry milk. Oh my god.
It's the milk you had to mix with water.
That was evil. That was
that was horrible. I'd pour a gallon of sugar in that shit. Like, it yeah, still
you know, that was. That, I still think that was an attempt to kill off poor people. If you take one taste of it, and you know what? I would rather die than drink the shit anymore.
It was free.
Yeah, it was free. There's a reason it was free.
All right, what's next on the list?
Right, well, actually, that's it for the list. And like I said, that was on cracked.com, and I will put a link in the show notes to that. Next, this is a segment that I actually haven't done this in a little while, but I'm getting back to it. The 559 text of the week. Now, there's this website called Text From Last Night.
Uh-huh.
It's at textfromlastnight.com, and they have text messages that are obviously alcohol and or drug induced. And, you know, when you send in the text message, you also put in the area code from which the text message came. So, you know, I want to support my town.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a search for the 559 area code, and I look for a text message to talk about on the podcast. And the text message, the 559 text message of the week is, "Honestly, bro, I can't look at girls you've banged. It's like looking herpes in the face."
Low blow.
Is that from Danny Minch? Or to Danny Minch? I'm going to have Danny Minch on the podcast next week. He will get a chance to defend himself. Don't worry.
You're going to have to do something about that. That's not right. Herpes in the face.
I'm just kidding.
I have a text that I sent
out. No. I'm just
kidding. I have a text that I sent out, and I think it could be...
Danny Minch does not have any sexually transmitted diseases that I'm aware of. I have never had sex with him, though, so it's not like I fucked him. I didn't get anything, so I think he's safe. No.
Okay, this is the text that someone... Okay, this is just a text.
is this a text that you sent?
This is a text that I sent. Okay, goddammit, I'm fessing up to it. All right. "I don't know what happened last night. Refresh my memory of how I got home. And there is shit in my shorts. Last thing I remember is the venue." That's it. I'm not saying anymore. I got roofied last week. It had to be roofied because I was like, okay, I had four drinks all night.
Four drinks all night.
Okay, the beer, shot of Hennessy. Love my Hennessy.
You love your Hennessy.
And love my Hennessy. And a birthday shot with a birthday table. It was red. I don't remember what was in that. Okay, that's neither here nor there, though.
That might have been.
Okay,
well, then, see, that's the one you don't know.
Okay, you're right. Okay, and it might have been meant for a girl. This is a warning to the women out there, okay? Because after I tell you the story, I want you to know, I feel for you women out there, because I accidentally took the wrong drink, probably. But that was probably meant for some poor, unsuspecting young lady.
Probably.
Get her cooch beat up unbeknownst to her. That's not right. It's not right.
It's not right.
And it's illegal. Anyway, I had one drink at the venue, okay? From that, it went black. I don't know anything else that happened that night.
Okay.
Hear tell I went all over the town and did my thing. But I did wake up with shit in my shorts. And I researched
Shit as in some weird stuff or actual feces?
No, like dookie. Yeah.
Were you wearing the shorts?
No.
They were lying on the ground near the bed? Did you wake up at home at least?
Yes.
Whose home?
Mine.
Oh, okay. You woke up in your own home, your shorts are lying on the ground, and there's dookie in it.
Right.
Okay.
And then, okay, I proceed to be like, where are my underwear? Because my underwear weren't in there either.
Okay, so your shorts are there with dookie in them, and your underwear are nowhere to be seen.
Right.
So you don't have your underwear on. They're nowhere in the room.
Uh-uh.
Your underwear has disappeared mysteriously.
I woke up butt naked in my bed. Okay. You woke up
butt naked in your bed.
In my own bed. Okay. Apparently this all happened on my own.
Yeah.
But it's what bothers me is that there was no shit all over the room.
There's no shit all over the room.
No, apparently I'm a very neat drunk shitter.
Yeah, so you wiped and everything, or did someone else wipe?
When I took a shower, there was maybe a little bit of crust in there, you know what I'm saying? But there was nothing okay. All over the bed, you know, there was some dried up shit, you know what I'm saying? But
I hope you guys all enjoyed that visual as much as I did. There was a little bit of crust up there. Yeah, there was some crust up there. Thank you, Byron Cam. And we'll put a link to that in the show notes, too.
All I'm saying is be careful, okay? Be careful. I grabbed the wrong drink and it could happen. Yeah. That's why I've quit drinking publicly.
There you go. Alcohol. Don't drink anything you don't watch the bartender pour.
No, I'm not drinking any poured drinks anymore. I'm just drinking beers.
All right, cool.
That's it.
Well, hey, we're going to take a break again here real quick. I am JT Foreman here with Byron. Byron, the roofied Campbell. And that's your new nickname now, roofied.
No.
We're the Bitter
Comics. No, it's not my nickname.
We're the Bitter Comics. We'll be right back. This is JT Foreman here with Byron Campbell. We are the Bitter Comics, and we're back. So, Byron, you had an addendum to your story you wanted to
throw in there. It occurred to me during break that a lot of you might have thought, you know, that I might have gotten ass raped by my story.
A possible misinterpretation.
Correct. I'm here to tell you that's not true. I had Dookie crust on me still, and my ass wasn't sore, so there was none of that going out there. I'm just, you know, public service announcement. Be aware of this. This thing is out there, okay? It's a beast.
Well, that doesn't preclude the possibility of ass rape by someone with a very small penis.
I don't even want to think about such acts, okay? Who would would you wipe shit from someone to fuck them in the ass with your small penis? Would you do that?
No. Actually, you know what?
You are admitting.
Let's pretend for the moment that I had a proclivity to ass rape.
Proclivity, I like that
word. I didn't. I like that word. At four syllables, I'm proud of myself. I'm going to have to pat myself on the back for that one. Good work. Let's pretend for a moment that I had a proclivity to ass rape. I would hose them down first. I mean, I roofied the guy. He's unconscious. I just put him in the shower, hose him down, and then go about my business.
You got roofied.
Who was it you said had a bit
about Joe Coy. Joe Coy. Mom and those bars. Mom, those bars. She said, you got roofied.
Awesome. Okay. Let's do some news stories before we go. We got here a Florida attorney representing a man accused in a murder-for-hire plot filed for a trial suspension because he wanted the day off to participate in an Ernest Hemingway look-alike contest. Frederick Lauterbach of St. Petersburg asked U.S. District Court Judge Stephen Merriday to suspend the trial on Friday, July 20th, so he could drive to Key West to participate in the annual competition.
I don't even know what you said.
I'd like a continuance on this case because I would want to participate in an Ernest Hemingway look-alike contest. You know, if I were accused of participating in a murder-for-hire scheme and my lawyer looked like Ernest Hemingway, a person who is famous for writing some really depressing books about how life sucks and then in the end committed suicide. I've read several of his books. That's what they're about. You're right. About the fact that life sucks.
Right.
I don't know that I would want him defending me. Because, you know, he wouldn't try that hard. And if he lost the case, well, so care. You go get ass raped. Just like Byron Campbell. Sorry.
That's what you have to do for that story, because it's fucking dull. I barely even got into that right there. Come on, next news story. What the fuck?
All
right,
next news story. Revenge gone wrong. Here we go.
Oh, this ought to be good.
A woman lost $2,000 in Palo Alto after she threw her purse.
It's in Palo Alto?
Yeah.
Oh, that explains so much more.
At a passing car filled with teenagers who allegedly threw a milkshake in her face. So a woman's walking across the street, a Range Rover full of teenagers is driving by, allegedly threw a milkshake at her. She got mad and, as revenge, decided she was going to throw her purse at the Range Rover. Of course, the window to the Range Rover was open, you know, the window that the milkshake came out of. The purse landed inside the Range Rover, and they drove off. So she had some personal items, and according to the story, $2,000 in cash in the purse.
And weed, most likely.
Plus the fact it was probably probably some sort of designer purse. It says it was alligator skin,
Gucci.
So, so she got doused with a milkshake, and in exchange, the perpetrators, who had a proclivity for throwing milkshakes, I'm going to use that word as many times as I can now, got $2,000 in cash.
The moral to the story is: don't let your anger determine who you are.
Well, you know, police are looking for the purse and the teenagers who are facing charges ranging from battery to possession of stolen property or misappropriation of property. Now, here's the thing. Now, the battery, they threw a milkshake at her. Okay, fine. But she kind of gave them the purse. You know, I don't know that it's possession of stolen property. They didn't steal anything. They were driving by. You know, if I'm driving down the street,
I got a solid case.
And someone throws $2,000 in my car, why do I have to stop? They saw me driving by in the first place. They knew I was in motion. I don't think it's my responsibility to stop and say, "Here's your purse. Here's your $2,000.
I got places to go.
I got shit to do. I got $2,000. I gotta go spend." So, yeah, you know, the whole possession of stolen goods seems like bullshit to me.
Yeah.
That seems like just, hey, let's make up this law that gives cops an excuse to arrest people that they don't like.
Talk about your milkshake.
Like possession of marijuana. That's another one. Let's make a law that gives cops an excuse to arrest people they don't like.
Possession of marijuana.
Here in California, you got a 102-year-old man who just got his citizenship. He apparently moved here from the Philippines in 1928 to pick lettuce and cabbage. He just became an American citizen in a naturalization ceremony this past Wednesday.
All right, about time.
A quote from him, "I'm happy." Okay.
Simple.
102? He's not the oldest person to ever become a U.S. citizen, though. The oldest person to ever become a U.S. citizen was 117. That was a woman, let's see, Manik Bocalian of the Sarmando Valley, Van Nuys. I can't pronounce this shit. Manny Bach was 117 when she took the oath in 1997, so she's probably dead now. 117. How long
did she live here before she took the oath?
You thought the line at the DMV was bad. The lines at the immigration... Holy crap. He's been waiting since 1928.
No wonder they take so long to get it.
Yeah, no shit.
I can't stand long lines. Oh my gosh.
There was a Supreme Court case was just decided, the health care bill.
Uh-huh.
And this is something I thought you might find interesting. They found that the health care bill is constitutional, so it's going to be going into effect. But one part of the health care bill, the mandate to buy insurance if you don't have it, they were hoping it would be found constitutional and in keeping with the Commerce Clause, but the decision was that it was found constitutional because of Congress's authority to tax.
Hmm.
Now let's go back into precedent a little bit. There was a case. What this tells me is that the court has decided that authority under the Commerce Clause isn't quite as broad as they had thought in the past.
Right.
So let's go back many years ago. There was a case where a guy was growing wheat for his family's consumption in addition to all of the wheat that he sold. And he felt that he shouldn't have to follow the government rules and pay the taxes on that wheat that he grew for his own family's consumption, because that's not part of the commerce. That's not part of what he's selling. And the Supreme Court decided that, oh, they can regulate that part of it too, and they can tax him on that also, because since he's growing this wheat, it still affects the wheat market.
Hmm.
Now, that case was decided on basis of the Commerce Clause. But since the Commerce Clause isn't as broad anymore, that case probably wouldn't have gone. They probably would have decided, no, that doesn't go, and that guy shouldn't have to pay the taxes on the... Now, it would be still okay under the Congress's taxing right, but not under the Commerce Clause. Stay with me here.
I'm trying.
Okay. Now, there was... we go back to another case here in the state of California where it was decided that a person who was growing marijuana for personal consumption was not allowed to do that because... And then they cited that Supreme Court case with the wheat as precedence. Under the Commerce Clause, the government has the right to regulate your growing stuff even if it's for personal use. But now, since that case of the wheat probably wouldn't pass under the Commerce Clause, then the case of the weed probably wouldn't pass under the Commerce Clause. So I think it's legal to grow pot for your own use now.
Hmm. You can get away with it, what you're saying.
So you should go ahead and start growing pot for your own personal use. And
I don't think.
Yeah, probably not. That's probably not a good idea. You know what? Bitter Comics does not officially recognize the legalization of growing pot for your own personal use.
I mean, I love to smoke it. I think it's just too much work to grow.
Yeah, you know, that's a good point, actually.
But But now it should be legal so I can buy it from somebody who is growing it, though.
That's true. That's true. Well, you know, if we want to call this a free society, people should be able to do what they want to do.
Right.
There you go. Finally, our last news story for the night. The Octomom has come out with a porn tape. You know who the Octomom was, right? She had...
Octuplets.
Yes, octuplets. She had 8 kids. Octomom Nadia Suleiman avoided... okay, here's the thing. Her porn video is a masturbation video. She's not having sex with someone else. She's getting herself off.
Okay.
Now, I know masturbation is a very touchy subject, but... Sorry.
There was pun.
Yes.
There was pun.
You can hate me for that pun later. But she... she said that she's avoided masturbation her whole life because, you know, religious beliefs or whatever.
Look at her, though, man.
She's hot. She had 8 kids at once. Those aren't all her kids. But at one time, she had 8 kids. And, you know, take a look at the pictures. I'm going to put a link to the Huffington Post article in the show notes. And it's got some of the pictures up here. She's not...
Baby mamas better step your game up if she had 8 kids.
And I mean, she's good. Not a 10, but she's an 8. She's an 8.
8 kids?
And what he's been trying to teach me about my... he's been conducting my blackification education now. Byron Campbell here is going to join in to teach me a few things. About being
First, you got to start drinking Hennessy.
I got to start drinking Hennessy and smoking blunts.
Yes. Yes.
With the big booty white girl giving me a blowjob under the table.
You got to get your big booty white girl.
All right. Well, actually, I guess that's about it for the show. Thanks for doing the podcast with me.
No problem, man. No problem. I appreciate it. Just to let you guys know, if you want to come check out one of my shows, I am hosting at Thai Palms every third Wednesday of the month. Also doing some other featured acts, so be sure to look me up on Facebook, Byron Campbell. Also on YouTube, The Byron Campbell Show. That's my channel.
I will put a link to your YouTube channel in the show notes on the website. And I'm JT Foreman. I'll be at the open mic at Thai Palms on Monday. I don't have any real shows coming up in the near future. Then, of course, the open mic's at Fat Boys Talk Around Thursdays. But that's about it I got coming up nearby. Thanks again for doing the show. Appreciate it. I'm JT Foreman here with Byron Campbell. We are the Bitter Comics, and I'll talk to you next week.
Awesome.